Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, a show dedicated to the storytelling that happens
or should happen
when practitioners purchase technology. Each episode is designed to inspire new ways and ideas to make your business better as we speak with the brightest minds in recruitment and HR tech. That's what we do. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup, and you are listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today we have Rachel on from Canary, and we'll be learning about the use case, the business case that her customers and prospects use for purchasing Canary. So, Rachel, would you do me a favor, an audience a favor, and introduce both yourself and Canary?
Sure, I'm happy to. I'm so looking forward to this conversation. So, so what Canary does is we help to deliver tax-advantaged emergency payments to people in crisis. I'm sure not quite common knowledge, but almost common knowledge to folks, right? People experience crises of different types. Sometimes, you know, it could be that they live in the path of a hurricane or wildfire, could be personal events that are similar to that, like a major medical event. And people do step in and want to help each other in those moments. And doing so within the workplace is complicated, right? So, what Canary has done is we've made it really easy for a workplace to set up a shared emergency fund. And then when an individual has a crisis, they can come and ask for help, and we can facilitate getting them that help as quickly and efficiently as possible.
First of all, that is just, you know, it's God's work. That's fantastic. So crises could be defined in a lot of different ways, I'm sure, for different people. I'm sure I could probably define that in my own life in a few different ways, right? So the company sets up a shared emergency fund. I'm assuming that employees and the company donate or, you know, have money taken out, whatever. How does the emergency fund get funded?
Yeah, so you were headed in the right direction. So this is really a charitable activity that we're facilitating. So the company can either donate money directly, or they can do a fundraising drive internally. And often we see a combination of those things. Because people do really like the idea of contributing to each other. And this is a way for a company to say, you know, we have your back, and how can we all help each other?
So, okay, so now we understand how the emergency fund comes about. We all understand the importance of the fund. Who makes the decision on who runs the fund?
Yeah, that's really where Canary comes in. So we built a very easy to use platform so that an individual who's experiencing a crisis can essentially apply for funds. And then it is Canary staff people who are making the decisions, yes or no. And our objective is to make it as obvious as possible, right? So there should be no discretion left in it. It really should be, here are the eligibility criteria, you meet the criteria, so now you're going to get these funds. That's what makes this feel fair to everyone,
right?
And clear.
Personal, if Sally in HR or Jim in finance or, you know, any of those names, if they're making that decision, you could see there could be the potentiality for bias.
Exactly. Bias. And also, it's a tough position to be in, right? Nobody is coming to apply for funds who's not experiencing some challenge, right?
Right.
And so to have to be the person who says no, just because it doesn't, you know, the person's experiencing a challenge, it just doesn't happen to be the kind of challenge that a fund like this can get, can view as a charitable donation, right? That's a really painful position to be in. It's also painful on the employee side. Like, people want to put their best foot forward at work. They want to seem like they have everything under control. So you don't really want to come to your HR leader or your direct manager and say, you know, this thing is happening for us and I might not be able to pay my rent next week.
Right.
And those are really the kind of stories we hear. Like, I might not be able to pay my rent. I am in danger of having my car never work again, right? And
repossessed,
right? Exactly. You know, and even though often it's because of something that's entirely out of the person's control, it still feels bad,
right?
You know, it feels bad, and so you know, it's better for both sides if it's somebody other than the employer who is sitting in between the employee and the fund.
Well, so a couple things come up. One is privacy. And you know the vulnerability that comes along with crisis, right? So car being repossessed is a great example. Do I want any of my coworkers to know that that happened, right? Just because it kind of it's loaded. It's loaded with a bunch of other things in there. It could be just a simple mistake, or it could be tethered to other issues going on. So how do we make sure that employees can feel vulnerable without exposing themselves too much, if that makes sense?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why, we keep all the information that people share with us completely anonymous, private. We're really careful with the data. What a company sees is an aggregate anonymized version, right? They see X number of people applied for funds. They had these types of problems. They see basically a chart of the uses. They don't see anybody's individual story. And when we communicate about it with a company, we will sometimes share quotes or anonymized, more detailed explanations of what's happening in a person's life, but we really make an effort to have it not be identifiable. It's really the goal is to help people feel like why that this is useful and understand why it's useful while protecting everyone's dignity.
Can I equate that to anonymous?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
Okay.
it's not, we know who it is, like a canary,
Right.
with individuals, because we have to make a payment to them and we have to verify that the person is really an employee at the place that they are applying from, right? So we need to know and we need to see some documentation that what they're describing happened really happened, right? So we are seeing information, but we keep that entirely anonymous from the perspective of the employer. And we are also, one of the benefits here is that our staff is really trained to deal with these kinds of issues. So our staff works really hard to be empathetic and supportive and caring because you are dealing with somebody who's experiencing a challenge of some
Yeah.
kind.
Yeah. It could be trauma. It could be a
Yeah.
health trauma. It could be all across the spectrum. I see something really political. And again, you can avoid it by at any point by just saying, William, I want to go down a different path. But Roe v.
Yeah.
Wade was overturned, which I never thought would happen in my lifetime, but it doesn't really matter because the listeners of this podcast are on both sides of this thing. So here's the deal. What if that's a crisis for someone?
Yeah,
So
and
on
it, yep.
in either direction, what if that's a crisis for someone? How do they express that vulnerability? And how does that get reconciled?
Yeah, it is. I take a deep breath because I know this is so touchy for people, but
Well,
we
it's
do,
yeah.
yeah, it's
It's on
really
every
challenging.
we have friends and loved ones on both sides of this issue. So I that's not the point. The point is
No.
with something that's and it could be something outside of that, something that's difficult. How do we deal with something that's difficult? Now, the easy stuff, I was in a car accident and I can't pay my medical bills. Okay, that's relatively straightforward, I would assume. But something that's not as straightforward. How does that get triaged?
So, a few ways. So, one thing is that we're setting up these charitable funds in partnership with an employer. So, the employer does have some say so about what kinds of events they think this charitable fund should cover. From a legal perspective, needing to travel out of state for an abortion or having an unplanned pregnancy or having a pregnancy that is causing physical
Right.
danger to the mother, all of those things can be included as a medical emergency that is unexpected outside of the individual's control, which are the benchmarks that matter for the tax treatment that we're driving here. And so we can pay for that can be considered a crisis within the Canary platform. And so far, the employers we've been working with, to the extent this has come up, it's come up on the from people who are saying we want to be able to help our employees if they need to travel or if they need to go seek care that is more difficult for them to get where they are. And so we have employers who've been erring on the side of let's include that within the use case. But the other feature of the way the Funds Canary sets up works is that in order for something to be considered an emergency, it also needs to be car it causing a financial hardship. So the funds are really going to, in the case of a charitable fund, to people who are really experiencing, either they cannot pay for the event itself, or they cannot pay for basic living expenses as a result of paying for the event.
Right.
That makes sense, right? So it's all people who are struggling. Now, that sort of sidesteps the, it's a real political issue for the employer to decide, yes, we're including that, no, we're not including that.
Right.
Canary can implement it in either direction.
Yeah, and we'll get away from Roe v. Wade for just a second.
Yeah.
The criteria is set by the company. And is that criteria transparent? They get to decide, as they should, right? It's if they're, especially if they're contributing lion's share of the money, they're setting the criteria. Is that made public to employees in the sense of what is and isn't fundable?
Yeah, it should be, because we want it to be as transparent to people as possible so that they only apply if they are going to be eligible, right? The worst case is you waste your time applying, but you're not eligible. So the criteria are really set up by the IRS. Like the broad picture is set up by the IRS, which is that there has to be an unpredictable, unavoidable event, and that event has to be causing financial hardship. Now, within that, we can decide what events are covered and what events are not covered.
And so why the IRS, for the edification for the audience, why the IRS is involved is this is non-taxed.
Exactly. I'm so glad you said that, because we at Canary could just as easily manage the same exact kind of fund, but have the funds be taxable, And then it really can be anything. You would be free from those constraints I just described.
Right.
And then you could really be broad, which we think is a great way to think about this. But people are often attracted to this idea because they can make charitable contributions into the fund, and individuals who are receiving payments can receive payments that aren't considered taxable income. And, you know, everybody likes, oh, it seems like this is tax efficient.
Right.
People just, we're all attracted to the idea that you might be able to do something and not pay taxes.
Right. If it's a $1,500 car challenge that they're having, et cetera, unforeseen, et cetera, if it meets the IRS criteria, then you don't have to mark that up so that it's taxed. You can just give them $1,500 to then take care of the car issue. Right. Exactly. If it were a taxable issue, the company would have to either give them less money, pay the $1,500, but they'd receive $1,250, whatever the tax rate is, or they'd mark it up, and then so that they would then take care of that tax. This helps the company stay within the guidelines of the IRS and get the people what they want, exactly what they need for that emergency.
Exactly. I'm so glad that you explained that so clearly. I think I get into the weeds of it, and it's like
I don't think I did.
No, it's so perfect. No, it's great. I feel like we should. But luckily, this is recorded. We can just put that on our website, and people will understand it.
So you did mention that best practices, that the criteria should be disclosed. Do you have clients that prefer not for the criteria to be disclosed?
I don't think that we do. I think that there's plenty of ways to do a program like this without hiring Canary.
Right.
And
good point.
And so certainly employers who are running programs like this on their own may have made a different choice about what to share and what not to share. Right. One of the reasons why I launched Canary was I thought, this is a hard thing to do on your own. And the fact that companies are doing it suggests there's a real need. Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it alone. I just think that there's two. You need in universities, they call it an ombudsman, right? Where it's an independent, objective third party that's within the university, paid by the university, generally speaking, but can mitigate really difficult situations. And they're not beholden to anybody, which, again, I think when it's done internally, it's that perception was a hint of impropriety is impropriety. So like just the mere hint of doing it internal, I just think that I would avoid that at all cost. Just because having an independent, group like Canary that just says, okay, no, here's a criteria, apply.
Right, exactly.
We're out of it.
Yeah.
You know, if it, hope it gets fun, hope your emergency gets funded. If it does, if it meets the criteria and the funds are there, great.
Absolutely. You know, and what we hear from employers is, look, like our people ask us for help, right? If you,
right.
I mean, every person I've ever shared this idea with who has been a manager of people has had some point in their career where somebody said, you know, I'm having X, Y, or Z crisis. Can you help me? And for the manager or the leader of the company, you don't want to say no. You really can't say yes. And right. So it's much better to say, you know, go over there and ask these people and they'll manage it for you. And
yeah, and there's expertise there too. I mean, it's also not just the independent, an objective part. It's also, these people do this every day. Like if it's HR is putting out fires every day. And, you know, when employees come to them, and they do every day, they come with emergencies, then it's hit and miss. And it looks arbitrary, which is just a perception of it looking arbitrary. And oh, by the way, they don't do it every day.
No,
you know, they don't. This isn't. I wouldn't expect this to be in any job description for people ops or a CHRO to then be able to make these decisions. Let's talk about the other side of this just for a second for the software side. When you show Canary to folks, I would assume that you know you probably talk to finance, you probably talk to the C-suite, you talk to HR, you talk to benefits, you talk to probably a lot of different people, a cadre of personas that you talk to. What's your favorite part of the Canary demo? Like, what do you love to show people?
Oh, I love that question. So I love showing people the administrative console that an HR leader or, you know, somebody internally at the company can see, because what they see is so sort of beautifully laid out, but also just, it's just the information that they want and need, and it's searchable in the way that they need it to be searchable. So what an HR leader is going to need to know is, you know, how many grants were made in the last 12 months or whatever period is right for them. So they're going to have the ability to adjust the dates by through which they see data. And then they're going to see exactly the highlights of how this program is going that are relevant for them. So that's really exciting. I mean, the piece of it that faces individuals, we're also really proud of. And one of the things that's challenging, to be honest, in the sales process for this is that our user and our buyer are not necessarily the same people, right? So your average employee who is struggling is going to be the person who comes to the part of the website to apply for money. We've worked really hard to make it very easy to use, sort of beautiful to look at, all in the spirit of, we think that increases the dignity and efficiency of the process for people. But there is some distance there between buyer and user, right? So it's really fun to show the administrative console where the person on the other end of the call is getting their direct needs met.
So I can see them falling in love with that just immediately, just like, oh my goodness, why would they have that? So take us into some customer success stories. You don't have to name names, of course, but just like things that have happened, things that got funded, things that have been resolved that might not have been resolved before Canary.
Yeah, you know, one of our CEOs, I know he tells this story a lot when he talks about why he did this program. We were able to give a grant to a home healthcare worker who was pregnant at the time and had a major income disruption in her life and was really concerned about being evicted. So here's somebody who is at the end of her pregnancy, worried about what this stress is doing to her pregnancy and worried about, you know, where is she going to live? And her job is to show up for other people and to help take care of them, right? And so where's the emotional bandwidth to do that when you're so worried about your own life? And through the Canary Charitable Fund that her employer had set up, we were able to give her a grant. She was able to pay her rent, buy groceries for her family, really alleviate her stress. She reported back to us, like, this is what saved my pregnancy, because she was starting to experience hypertension and was going to need to then be on bed rest, was really worried about how the rest of the pregnancy would go. But her stress level dropped. She had a really normal delivery and was able to get back to work. And so we just all felt so gratified by that, right? Here's somebody whose job it is to care for others. And so to have her feel like she's also being taken care of was really consistent with this company's brand and way of being in the world and what they wanted to do for their people, but can be hard to implement. So we all felt really good about that particular story. But you know, most of the people we're helping, I can tell some version, maybe less, a bit less dramatic, but some version of that, right? I was so worried about my own crisis. How am I going to show up and be there for other people?
So I wanted to go back to the fund. We'll go backwards. First of all, that was a wonderful story. The fund itself is funded by employees as well as the company, or each company kind of determines, just clarity for the audience. Yeah. The fund itself, how do we decide how much to put in the fund, and who puts money into the fund?
Yeah. So often, a company is making a direct contribution out of its P&L, or if they have a foundation, they can make a contribution. We also really do see employees giving into a fund.
Right.
And one of the things that's so nice about that is that then when you receive the funds, you don't feel like, well, this was a handout, right? You feel like, well, this is something I've contributed to also. We all put this in place to help all of us.
That's a good point. So,
right? It just feels really good. You know, even like one of the things that it's easy to forget about America, we're all sort of criticizing ourselves a lot lately, is actually like, charitable donations in our country are really high. Like people really give to the causes that they care about. And especially at lower income levels, people give. And so we've had people who received a grant, you know, and maybe it's a $1,000 grant. And then they'll say, I'm going to give $5 every paycheck, you know, until I've also given in $1,000 to this grant, because I want to pay this forward. This is so important for me. And I want to be able to help others the way this helped me. So there is really an instinct to give as well as to request.
Right.
And then in terms of how much money you actually need, you know, usage tends to be much lower than people expect. Like you think, oh, well, we made this money available to anyone who has a crisis. We know people are living on the edge financially. We're going to see huge numbers of applications. But you really don't, because people understand this is for an emergency and this is for all of us. And it's a shared resource. And I should only ask if I really need it. And so we tend to see usage in the low single digits percentage-wise of any population, right? So like under 5% of an employee base will ask for money in any given year. And then we help companies figure out what's the maximum grant size they can offer given what their resources are and what we think the usage is going to be.
Love that. Last question. Prospects that have never interacted with Canary or even something like Canary, what questions should they ask of you? Like buying questions, what should they be asking you that's probably not even on their, you know, radar?
That's a great question. I think they should be, should they ask? No, totally. The questions we get most are what people are most worried about is how much is this going to cost me, right? That's the bottom line for people. It sounds like a really good idea. It sounds, but then people immediately go to how much is this going to cost? I think what we would like people to be asking us is, what are the impacts people achieve? It's one thing we do is we survey people after the fact and say, well, how did these funds affect you in your life? What outcomes did you have? And I'd love to see people really focus there, because the kinds of outcomes that we see are, of course, things on the company side. I feel more loyalty. I feel appreciative of my company for doing this. I feel engaged with my company, but also really big deal nuts and bolts things. Like I was able to avoid late payments on my rent, and I was able to avoid being evicted, and I was able to avoid downgrading my food choices, right? Like we see really core things. So I'd love for people to be focused there. You know, the hardest question we get is like, why should a company do this? Like, why? Well, like, in its most basic way.
That's the easiest
way,
question.
Like, yeah, like the easy and the hardest. But like, because when we get that question, it's coming from a like, well, if we pay our people enough, why do they need this, right? If we have health insurance, why do we need this? Or, and that question, right, I think is also a good one. Yeah, I'm glad you have that wow response. Like, that question to me is, well, everybody experiences moments when they're just short, And we need every possible way in our society to step up for each other.
That's right.
Like, it's not a why. Sometimes it's like, well, why my company instead of government, or why my company instead of the person's family? And to me, it's like, well, why not everybody? We should all step up for each other in every way we can, and not make choices like, well, that stepping up for that person is somebody else's job.
Drops mic, walks off stage. Rachel, thank you so much for your time. This has been fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I love this conversation and really appreciate what you're doing on your podcast.
Absolutely. And thanks for everyone listening to the Use Case Podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and hit us up at recruitingdaily.com.